The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So we are 100 days into the new government in Ireland. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has taken an interesting approach to polling, because rather than doing a polling of the general public, he's done a polling of the Oireachtas public, asking Leinster House insiders who they think is performing well and who is making a bags of it. Before we get to that, though, we played Mary Lou McDonald's McDonald's clip of it during the intro there. The NAMA chief, Brendan McDonagh, who wasn't just hotly tipped. I mean, it was all over bar the shouting that he was going to be the new, quotes, housing czar. That's out the window.
Yeah, it is. So this went to the Cabinet Subcommittee yesterday, and we got kind of word 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, some rumblings behind the scenes. The Fine Gael had blocked the appointment, and obviously the controversy here was around his €430,000 salary at NAMA and whether or not that would carry over. And, you know, different sort of sources saying different things. The Fine Gael just said we need to get in front of this, that it was because of the process, how it was done, that they were slightly blindsided by this and it was all a Fianna Fáil idea coming forward, that James Brown should have never said publicly that Brendan McDonagh was the preferred candidate. And then it emerged that McDonagh himself had actually ruled himself out, that he rang James Brown yesterday, rang the housing minister and said he was glad to be considered, but that given all the public controversy around it, he wouldn't be letting his name stay in the hat. So he is now gone from that. There was a kind of a pointed statement from a spokesperson for the government yesterday evening when they said James Brown would now go about setting up this housing activation office, but that every step of the way would be run through the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach. So the lines of communication breaking down really between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And now the future of the office, it is going to happen, but who heads it up is a very open question.
I'm slightly sketchy on this, Sean. The dogs in the street were barking this for several weeks. So how were the various different cabinet ministers and parties not aware that he was the man that had gotten the job?
Well, they hadn't gotten the job as of yesterday. Yesterday was to appoint him.
Yes,
so he hadn't actually come in. But he was going to be the one appointed. He was the name putting out there. Because up until now, this was seen as very much a Fianna Fáil idea. So this Housing Activation Office, Fine Gael aren't as convinced on the need for it. Like, it makes a certain amount of sense on a level, isn't it? You have someone come in, identify exactly where the blocks are and then fix those blocks. The question should be asked, why has that not been happening up to date, and was there not someone within the Department of Housing doing it?
No, but my point being, if we're sitting around a cabinet meeting and one turns to the other and says, why were we not informed about this? And the answer is, well, it was in the Irish Examiner there 2 weeks ago. Did you miss the papers? Surely they knew. Am I missing something?
Well, no, they knew in the last couple of weeks, but they shouldn't have found out through the papers was the suggestion, that this should have been brought to them and it should have been done in a different way. Because obviously, if you say you're going to appoint someone, the obvious thing is to flag it up the chain. But to have this €430,000 come in and to be a political football is something that people in Fine Gael thought, well, you know, this
but surely
is
then the point at which you raise that is when it appears in the papers and somebody goes back channel to the other party and says, we're not
sure
wearing
it's too,
the
it's too late at that point. It's been in the papers, it's been out there.
No, but my point being, why sit around wait for a cabinet meeting 3 weeks later to have a hissy fit when it's run in the media and everybody has taken it as a foregone conclusion and you've suffered the political damage of the €430,000 getting established?
Because you also now get to put out there that you were the ones who stood in the way of this actually happening and the €430,000 appointment being made. And so there's a certain amount of Fine Gael credibility there. And as was pointed out, I think on News Talk Breakfast, Fine Gael don't exactly have a clean bib when it comes to this in terms of past appointments, Catherine Zapone potentially being the UN Special Envoy and all of that. But there is a certain amount of politicking going on here. I think broader picture, you'd have to be a bit more concerned that this seems to be the government's big idea. That the Housing Activation Office, of someone coming in and identifying where the blockages are, something that should have been going on anyway, is suddenly, oh, that's going to solve anything. That's a huge question. But even the fact that, I mean, the fact that Brendan McDonagh is on €430,000 in itself is scandalous. I think that any civil servant would be on that sort of money is scandalous. To then try and bring it into housing at a time when that is more than the asking price for an awful lot of houses around the country just shows a total political naivety, lack of political antenna from the housing minister in particular, but also the Taoiseach for allowing it to get to this point.
And will the salary, because it had already been chipped back a bit to, I think, an unspecified lower number. Do we know what, will it be in the 400s that the salary will remain for the job? Or has that been established?
Absolutely not, I would imagine. I'd say what will happen is this will now go to the public appointment service and it will go through civil service channels and be much less. It was only 430 because it was Brendan McDonagh and that's his existing salary. And even in the papers in the current days, when he goes back to the NTMA, whenever NAMA is wound up, which is due to be the end of this year, he's going to revert back to a lower salary. It seems like whoever comes in, I think it's absolutely politically untenable for them to be on 430 grand a year.
Meanwhile, we crossed the threshold of 100 days of the new administration, and you did that very interesting polling where you talked to TDs about their view of who was doing well and who was doing badly. Let's start at the bottom and work up. Worst minister.
Yeah, so this, just to explain it, it's not only TDs and senators, this is insiders. So we've done polling of TDs and senators before, but I wanted to get the sense even from other people who were in and around and making the actual decision. So I spoke to advisors, I spoke to some political correspondents, I spoke to former members of the Oireachtas as well, and they all pooled into this, and it was done on a sort of pro rata basis based on how many, what percentage they got at the last election. So spoke to more Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin people than Sock Dems and Labour, for example, to get a good sense of the broad swathe of the Oireachtas. And worst performing minister was pretty clear. It was James Brown. 57% of respondents said that he was the worst performing minister in the first 100 days.
This is Minister for Housing.
Minister for Housing in the first 100 days of this government. Patrick O'Donovan, the nearest one, on 10% after, I suppose, his handling of the situation with the arts scanner and the arts council and stuff like that. But James Brown, very clearly the worst performing minister through 100 days.
How much of that is his performance, and how much of that is that the chalice he was handed was the most poisoned that you could possibly get?
A little bit of both, and I think I should say that some respondents did come back and say, look, it's early days, this government hasn't introduced any real legislation, we haven't had committees, so picking best and worst is a little bit harder on that front. He was handed, talk about a grenade pass, a hospital pass, like Dara O'Brien exits stage left, sort of being very, very quiet and not getting involved in all of this. Somehow between two manifestos of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they haven't come up with a single good idea for the housing sector. But I think even I have a certain amount of sympathy with him, because he is a new minister getting to grips with a very, very large brief and a spotlight that he hasn't been used to, but he also hasn't handled that entirely well. For example, when he set up this Housing Activation Office or got the approval of Cabinet, didn't do any sort of public press conference afterwards, went on and did one radio show, you know, small things like that. And his performances in the media have not been convincing. And I think that feeds into this result.
Other end of that spectrum, best performing minister, who is getting kudos?
Yeah, two in particular. Jim O'Callaghan tops it on 29%. The Justice Minister, complete opposite when it comes to media performances. You couldn't get him away from a mic in the first few weeks that he was the Justice Minister, but gave pretty confident performances, sort of assuring. There's something about him that you just know he knows the brief, and that is reflected. And then in this week, the announcement on immigration that he made came after most of the polling was done, so it doesn't really feature, but a general sense that he's been assured. And Jennifer Carol McNeill, second on 22%, not that far behind him. I suppose an interesting one there in that she seems to, or at least has the perception of having landed on her feet and is engaging in various different parts of the health sector. There's a perception in Fine Gael of taking on the likes of the pharmacy union when it came to HRT and getting that covered. So she's polling well at the minute. The next nearest then would be Pascal Donoghue, down at 12%, who's been sort of solid all around, having dealt with the Trump tariffs and been quite vocal as well. So those who are performing well in the media, performing well in the poll too.
Issues then that are at top of mind, because obviously Jim O'Callaghan, being justice, is dealing with some of the issues of law and order and seeming to get a bit of a bounce out of it. And as we said, James Brown mired in housing. Housing, I assume, number one issue, is it?
Yes, we polled this in two different ways. One was asking him, what are the three biggest issues that are coming from the constituency? So what are people that they're dealing with on the ground saying back to RTDs and senators? And 87% of respondents said housing. It is, without doubt, the dominant, the number one issue. 87% of them all saying that's coming back as a top three issue. The next surprised me a small bit. It's special needs education and a lack of places in particularly for special needs education at 33%. That's coming back really strongly, with one in three from the constituencies, ahead of the general healthcare system at 31%. And after that, a drop to 21% for a general tariffs / economy / cost of living. Where is Trump going to take us over the next few months, and what is the budget going to look like?
So that's what's coming back on the doorsteps. The other side of it then is an analysis of the agenda from the insiders' perspective themselves.
Yeah,
it?
So the other part of that is what issue do you think is going to cause the much controversy or dominate airtime both in the Dáil and in the media? And there we see housing drop from 87% down to 35%, thinking housing would be the number one issue. Still the number one, but a bit of a drop off. Trump and tariffs second then at 20% for dominating Dáil agenda and media. And after that, the triple knock and neutrality at 15%. So this whole debate that we're going to have over the next while about, do we increase defence spending? Do we get rid of that UN oversight on postings abroad? And after that, it was a big drop off. Speaking rights / Michael Lowry got about 7.5%, and then 5% for cost of living, another 5% for Gaza.
As always, divergence and dichotomy is interesting in polling. The gap between the second biggest issue on the doorstep being second special needs education and lack of places, and it not showing up at all in the analysis of what the insiders think are going to be the dominant issues.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, it's one of those ones that a lot of people are talking about, or if it affects you, it affects you in a really big way, but it just doesn't really capture a Dáil debate. It doesn't really capture media attention in that same way.
When you were talking to all of these people, what was their overall sense on how the first 100 days has gone for the new government?
Not well. That they squandered, in particular Fianna Fáil, had this groundswell of support, had their best election in years, clearly the biggest dominant party, and all of that goodwill or bounce is pretty much gone and evaporated at this stage, was the sense that I got. But also, and this was reflected in some of the questions about who's under the most pressure, was another thing that we polled. So when it came to party leaders, for example, very clearly Simon Harris, 61% said Simon Harris is the political party leader under the most pressure, followed by Mary Lou McDonald at 27%. That reflected again in terms of the party under the most pressure. Fine Gael at 51, Sinn Féin at 27%. And if we look at some of the comments about that, so Fine Gael getting squeezed and running out of steam, poll ratings, struggling for relevance and identity within the coalition is one that came up with an awful lot of people, that people don't really know what Fine Gael are as this sort of junior partner. People saying they're tired after so long government despite so many new TDs and low poll ratings. And then similar enough for Sinn Féin, herders on the ditch was one of the comments that was made. High in the polls, but no path to actual power. Too many of them have adapted to a populist approach. So, you know, these kind of things were coming back, that those are the two parties that are most in flux. And then interestingly, when you take who has been the best political performer, so of the best party leaders, who's the most impressive? Mary Lou McDonald, almost as many people saying she's the most impressive as the least impressive, or the one under the most pressure. She was 24% there. But very clearly, Micheál Martin, 41% of those Leinster House insiders saying that he has been the most impressive party leader, that he's dealt with Donald Trump, that he's been quite vocal and reassuring, more so than his ministers.
Again, there's an odd dichotomy in that, because if you have the Taoiseach being credited as being the most impressive performer and the government for which he is responsible to provide leadership to being seen as sort of inert and lackadaisical.
But we've seen that, funny enough, with Micheál Martin through lots of polls over the last 5 years, where he has been very clearly the most popular leader, even when he was briefly overtaken by Simon Harris when he first came in and had the sort of Harris hop, and then that fell back away. The people are more attracted or more confident, maybe, in Micheál Martin than they are in Fianna Fáil and the government in general. And I think the housing issue and the speaking rights issue are probably the prime examples, because minister after minister after backbencher were coming on the air to defend the Michael Lowry deal and the speaking rights, and frankly making a bags of it and making the situation worse. And then when Micheál Martin came in, there was a sense of calm, and he was going, well, actually, it's 7 minutes a week, 7 minutes twice a week. You know, it's not that big a deal. And when you hear his arguments, I think you're more likely to believe the government line.
But the counterpoint to that is, it was he who put them in that position in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point.
What about then, from the perspective you said that on the, for the main opposition, the challenge is a sense of, what did you say, populism but no route to power.
Yeah.
And that for the government, there is a sense of a lack of momentum and goodwill squandered. Let's start with the latter and then we go to the former. If that's the sense 100 days in, it's one thing to try to sustain momentum. Mm. It's another to start from 3 months into it and get it going. What can they do?
So if you're in the government, and particularly you're in Fianna Fáil, you have to look at this and say, right, we don't have another major election. The presidential is a thing of its own. We don't have another major election for 5 years. So we can afford to be a little bit further down in the polls and have Sinn Féin have their hop. That's absolutely fine. But really, you've got 2 years of Micheál Martin being Taoiseach to make your impact. And particularly when it comes to housing, you've got a new housing minister who's a little bit at sea with everything, or certainly appears to be a bit at sea with everything. You have to come up with a few ideas, and you have a certain amount of time to lead that in. Confidence is a thing that's very easily lost and very hard won. So it needs to be long-term results that we're going to see. And one thing about Fianna Fáil at the moment, all through the election and all of last year, they were saying housing is getting better. We've brought it from 6,000 houses a year up to 30-odd thousand houses a year. Now it's plateaued. Progress is very rarely linear. So, and the hardest bit is figuring out how do you get that second hop now from the 30,000 up to the 50-odd thousand that they were promising that we would need. A lot of the election promises have gone the way of election promises, whereby people are looking now and say, well, you can't possibly deliver that. Have you heard €200 a month childcare mentioned at all in the last 100 days? I certainly haven't, despite it being the big promise from both of those parties. So it's bringing about back to those things. But once again, And I slightly feel for Micheál Martin throughout his career. He's an element of victim of circumstance in that he came in with all these promises in 2020. COVID hit straight away and the programme for government was essentially torn up for 3 years. He had all these promises this year and Trump gets re-elected and the tariffs comes in. And one of the interesting things, we also polled on the budget, what people's expectations are, and more than half think it's going to be a very tight budget. Some think it's going to regressive. Even one respondent said it's going to be the worst budget since 2008. So there is a very low expectation and suddenly a much more of a squeeze on what you can do.
Sinn Féin then, that issue of popular but failing to convert it into a path to power, that's a very difficult coffin corner to get out of.
Yeah, it is. And they are in a difficult scenario. They obviously have had that little bit of a bump in the polls, but I don't think any of them are believing them anymore because they spent so much of the last 5 years riding high in the polls and it didn't materialise. And for some reason, when it comes to Sinn Féin, when it gets to squeaky bum time and people are actually thinking, where am I going to cast my vote? They're going back to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, or they're scattering elsewhere. So I think they are slightly helped by the speaking rights scandal in that they have built a relationship with the rest of the opposition that just didn't exist before. Whether that carries through to other issues will be really interesting to watch, because if they're going to do it, if they're going to be in government, I don't think they can do it alone and they somehow have to build that coalition. I think that's really difficult because your soft left, your middle ground vote in the Sock Dems and Labour and the Greens didn't really change from election to election. It's still about 20%. It's fine, but it's not going to get you, or not even 20%, it's about 15% maybe. It's not going to get you where you need to go. So finding a route to government is going to be very difficult for them. And I think ultimately the only way they're going to get in is by doing a deal eventually with a Fine Gael or a Fianna Fáil. And that makes them a very different proposition, and it's a very difficult thing for a lot of them to swallow when they have been shouting about how bad those parties are for 15 years.
Let's finish where we started, and housing and the new housing czar, or what is the chief executive of the housing?
Chief executive of the housing activation office.
Something. Yeah, right. So if Brendan McDonagh is gone from that role, a number of things have been established. One, anybody who's now looking at it says, well, somebody managed to get so significantly traduced, they left the job before they were even in it, which makes it a fairly unattractive prospect. And it's now going to go through the more bureaucratic Public Appointments Commission. How long does that mean before we're going to have somebody in that role?
Quite a while. If it goes through the Public Appointments Service, I mean, you're talking months, I would think. The update that was given yesterday from the government said there would be progress or deliverables before the next Cabinet Subcommittee meeting. That doesn't necessarily meet on a regular basis, so it could be 2 weeks or a month. But if you're going through that and you're going to find a civil servant, and now you have to find a civil servant who's willing to take on a poison chalice, I think we could be talking a couple of months before there is a CEO and a leader in there.
Lastly on that, again, a thing that I don't fully understand. My understanding was the job of gathering together the senior executives, the chief executives of things like the ESB, like Irish Water, like the Housing Agency, of knocking heads among other government departments. I thought that was the job of the relevant minister and the Taoiseach, rather than appointed civil servants.
And that's the argument a lot of the opposition are making, calling this a job share that James Brown is essentially trying to have. Now, the other point is the one that I think Shane was making earlier on News Talk Breakfast, that the housing minister can't be across every single housing development in the country and what is blocking that one up. So there is an element of sense in it, in that instead of just giving a blanket, whatever, 50 million extra to Irish Water in the budget, you give someone else a pot of money to look and say, right, well, actually Irish Water is only 30% of the problem over here and 20% is ESB or whatever, and they can go in and be that fixer, that the housing minister just can't be across every single development and where the blockage is coming. But it is a delegation of responsibility when really they are, they're the office holder, they're the one that the buck stops with. So, like I said, to have the overall office, I think there is an element of sense in it, but the handling of it politically has been absolutely atrocious. And now there is a weight around that office and a scrutiny that will be put on it that might put a lot of people off who would otherwise have been in the frame to lead it.
Sean, thank you so much. That is our political correspondent, Sean Defoe. And it is, of course, 100 days, more or less around the same time, across the water in the US. And we'll be looking at how that has gone later on in the show.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Unbelievable. I'm finding it hard to breathe. That's what Jeremy Keegan said when he discovered he had an amazing start to his weekend. He became the fourth huge cash machine winner in November. Good news, of course, the Christmas cash machine has landed. There is even more cash up for grabs. There can't be a Christmas cash machine this early on in the year. So I am assuming I'm getting over enthusiastic about something that happened several months ago.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.